So we're going to have our reading now. And the way we're going to do the reading today is we're going to do it verse by verse on each side of the church. So if we could have the first one up, the first slide up. So it's taken from Matthew chapter 4. So if you are on the band side, let's have the next slide. Okay, if you're on the band side, you are going to say the parts in yellow, okay? Okay, and I know if you're not quite old enough to be able to read these words, just listen out and listen along carefully with the words. And the other side, the pulpit side, are going to say the words in white, okay? So you're white. And all together, we will say what's known as a refrain. We're going to say the verse 17. So that pops up three times, okay? So look out. So all together, we'll say the verse 17. So let's do our reading together. Together. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Leaving Nazareth, he went to live in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. At once they left their nets and followed him. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the word of the Lord.
If you just give me a moment to get myself set up, maybe you can be having a little think about what we've just read. I wonder if you know any of the characters in that story. Has anyone ever been fishing? Who's been fishing? Anyone? A few of you? Is it an easy job or is it a hard job? What do you think? Hard? Depends what kind of fishing, doesn't it? I see I have lots of things here today. Just keeps coming. Here we go. Right. How do you feel when it gets really dark? Is there any... Yeah? A bit scared? So anybody afraid of the dark? Anybody want to admit that? Yeah. Do you know, I used to be afraid of the dark. This is my scared face. Anybody look like that when they get afraid of the dark? Ooh. How else does the darkness maybe make us feel? Does anybody ever get a bit sad? A bit sad when it's dark? Some people, in the middle of winter, get really sad because it's so dark outside. Can you think, what other problems might you have in the dark? Tell you what, if you want to come a bit closer to see what I've got on my board, then you can do that. Why don't you come and sit here on the floor or sit on the bench available and bring an adult with you? So grown-ups, if you want to come with your kids, that would be great. And if we might leave the straw, so we sit on there, so off the step, off the step, off the step, that's it. Don't sit on the step. Because everybody needs to be able to see. Very good. Are you listening? What other problems do we have in the dark? If we can't see where we're going, what do you think that means? We get confused and we get lost, don't we? Confused and lost. And sometimes it's so bad, we might trip up, yeah? We get hurt. We get hurt and we might hurt other people because it's so dark we can't see. You know, when I was afraid of the dark and I went to bed, my parents left the door open a little bit and the landing light switched on. Do you have that? Yeah? And does it make you feel better? A bit, doesn't it? And sometimes when I'm feeling a bit sad in the winter because there's not a lot of sunshine, I have a very special clock. Maybe you have one too. And it mimics, it kind of pretends to be the sun. And it shines a really bright light at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when the sun is actually still in bed. But it makes me feel happy. It helps me to get up and get out of bed. Now, what do you think you would do if you were lost in the dark? How would we stop ourselves from getting sad and confused and lost and afraid and even hurt? What sorts of things would you use to help you in the dark, yeah? Oh, so you kind of feel your way around, yeah? Like, table's there, yeah? What is this? It's a torch, yeah, well done. So we might use a torch. Turn on the torch. Now, some of you like fire, I know. What are these? Hands up, hands up. Yeah, what is it? Matches. And if we've got matches, that means we need a candle. Yep. These things might help us see in the dark because they're all types of light. Well done. Maybe it would be a good idea if we have electricity and we pay the electricity bill to do what? Grown-ups, what do you think? Switch on the light. Yeah? Switch on the light. That would be sensible, wouldn't it? Switch on the light. But you see, really, I think the best solution is just to wait until the sun comes up. Don't you think? Because the sun is the biggest kind of light. The sun is bright. The sun gives light to everything. We need light. You see, the Bible says that when we choose not to live God's way, when we say to God, no, I'm not going to obey your rules, the Bible says it's like living in the dark. It's like living in the dark. When we say to God, now maybe you've done this in Sunday school, shall we sit back? That's it. Well done. When we say, shove off, God. Can we say that? Shove off, God. You want to do an action? Shove off, God. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Can you look really important? I'm in charge. No to your rules. You waggle your finger. No to your rules. When we say, shove off, God, I'm in charge. No to your rules. When we sin, we are living in the dark. And what happens in the dark? We get afraid, we get really sad, we might get really confused and lost, and we hurt ourselves and other people. But most of all, boys and girls and grown-ups, we disobey God. We disobey God. Because we're living away from God and his light. But you see, at first, living the way that I want to can seem pretty good, can't it? It can feel great to do things my way and make up on my own rules. Now, I have a story to tell you about when I was little. Are you listening carefully? Grown-ups, don't hold this against me. I have a younger brother. He's 2 years younger than me. And sometimes, because I'm an older sister, I would get him in trouble. Anybody here an older sister or brother? Yeah, a few. A few of you. You'll know what I'm talking about then. Yeah. One time, when I was very, very little, my brother woke up early in the morning and started to mess around with the wallpaper, and he ripped a bit off. And I, because I'm a wonderful older sister, went into my parents' bedroom and said, he's ripping off the wallpaper. So in mum and dad come, and they tell him off, and he's a bit upset. But then I decide to also rip off some of the wallpaper. And then I go back into mum and dad's room and I say, he's ripping it off again. And this happens a third time. And my brother gets in a lot of trouble. I got my brother in trouble for doing something that actually I did. But do you know what? The worst thing was not that I did it. It was that I wanted to do it. And do you know what? I really enjoyed doing it. Why? Because I was in charge. I made up the rules. I did it my way. And that felt really good. But the Bible says that leads to darkness. And it doesn't take a very long time before that way goes really, really wrong. You see, it might feel good at first, but in the end, it turns out very bad. But the good news is, boys and girls, is that one day, when I was a little bit older, I met Jesus. And Jesus is the King who brings us light. He's the King who brings us light. Did you hear how that man with the funny name, he was called Isaiah. Can we say that? Isaiah. Funny name, isn't it? He described it like this. He said, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of the land of death, a light has dawned. Jesus is the King who brings light to people in darkness. People like me. People like you. You see, grown-ups, boys and girls, do you know, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he does not come for good people. Jesus doesn't come for good people. You don't have to be a good boy or girl or grown-up for Jesus to come. In fact, he comes especially for people like me who rip off the wallpaper and then go and tell their mum and dad it was their brother. For people who make up their own rules and try to get away with it. Jesus comes and brings his light to people in darkness. Not for good people, but for bad people. That includes us. It includes the bullies and the robbers and the annoying brother or sister. Jesus brings his light to bad people. And because Jesus is the King, he gives us some commands. What's a command? Anybody know what a command is? Yeah, go on, Axel.
Somebody commands you to do something, it's like they're telling you to do something.
Yeah, they're telling you to do something. It's being told what to do. And what do? With a command, we do it. We listen to it and we do it. And Jesus gives us three commands. See, in the Bible passage that we read today, Jesus is about to start a very big and important job. And do you remember, boys and girls, in the end, Jesus goes to the cross, doesn't he? He dies and then he comes back to life. But before that, I wonder if anyone was listening. Did you know what he was doing before that? Maybe a grown-up can answer this question. What did Jesus spend his time doing before he went to the cross? Anyone? Oh, I'm testing you now. Have you had your Weetabix? See, the kids know. What did he do? Come on, kids, put us out of our misery. He was preaching. Well done. He was preaching. That means he went around lots of towns and lots of cities telling people about God, about what he's really like, and telling them about his rescue plan. And one of the most important pieces of what Jesus was telling them was a command, telling them what they must do. Now, I'd like someone to come and read. Would anyone, do you want to come, Maris? Do you want to come and read a verse? Can you read just verse 17? That'd be great.
From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Brilliant. Excellent. What was the first word that Jesus commanded there? Yeah?
Repent.
Repent. Repent. Now, I need a volunteer to hold this up for me, this first command. Let's have Angus first, and then we'll come to you guys later, all right? Would you stand over there for me and hold that up so that everyone can see? Brilliant. Repent. Repent means to turn away. Okay, so we're going to do an action. Are you ready? Now, you can either do it with your head or you can kind of move your body a little bit. Grown-ups, you need to do this as well. Repent means to turn away. Okay, we turn away. We turn away from the darkness. We turn away from sin, from saying to God, "Shove off. I'm in charge, no to your rules." We turn away. Why? Because Jesus' kingdom of light is here. It's come. Now, the second thing that Jesus commands us to do after repent is, he says, come. Now, who would like to hold this up? Tom, do you want to come? Can you hold that up for us? Jesus says, come, right? This is the action for come. Come. So we've had repent, whoosh, means turn. Come. See, one day, very shortly after Jesus began his very important job of preaching, he walked along a very big lake. And who did he meet at that lake? Can anyone remember? Yeah? Who did he meet? What were they doing? They were fishing, weren't they? They were fishing, maybe not like that, probably with a massive net. They were fishing. They were working really hard because they were fishermen. Every day they'd go out and they'd catch lots of fish in really, really big nets. And then they would clean them all up really nice and sell them at the market. That was how they got their money. You can imagine there'd be a lot of nice fish and chips in Jesus' day, can't you? Lots of nice fish. But Jesus shouts to them, "Hey, hey you, come, come over here, come to me." And what happened?
They
came. And they, what did they drop? They dropped their nets, didn't they? They dropped their nets, they left all their fish, they left their job, and they came to Jesus. You see, when Jesus commands me to repent, oh, you're all asleep. Let's try that again. You ready? Repent. He also says, come. come to me, come to the King who brings light. Come to me. The third and last thing that Jesus commands us to do. Oh, come on then, you come. Is to follow. And the action for follow is, you can do that on the spot, or you can just pretend if you're sat down, follow. Excellent. Stop. Great. Follow. You see, those guys that were fishing, they didn't just give up their jobs as fishermen for 1 hour, or for 1 day, when I'll do it well, that's it, or even for 1 week, or 1 month, or 1 year, but for the rest of their lives. Jesus commanded them to repent, to come, and to follow. Girls and boys and grown-ups, Jesus commands us to follow him for the rest of our lives. That means that he gets to be our king forever and ever and ever. Over everything, over all things. When we repent, when we come, we also follow him. And he gets to be the king of light of our whole lives. Brilliant. You can stop running on the spot. Great. But Jesus... Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that can sound like it's not very fun that Jesus gets to be king of our lives. But he gives us a wonderful promise, and this is my last thing. I have a bag of things here. And they're all things that can make you feel nice and toasty and warm. So, what do we think this is? Mushroom soup. I really like cream of mushroom soup. Ugh. Oh, we've got some. Ugh. That's horrible. That's disgusting. What else can make you warm on a winter day? Is that a hot water bottle? A nice fairy one. That's very comfy, isn't it? A nice hot water bottle. What's this?
Hat and gloves.
There we go. Everybody see? You've got gloves? Have you in your pocket?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now.
Hot chocolate!
Hot chocolate! Oh. Hot chocolate.
Now, I have to disappoint you. It is empty. Boo, I know. Hot chocolate. Who likes hot chocolate? Yeah. Marshmallows, cream? Yeah. Very nice. And this is what I used to have to wear when I lived in Germany.
Boots.
Not any old boots. These are snow boots. Do you understand? And everyone can see. Snow boots. They keep... You need snow boots. Really? Yes, to walk in the snow. Now, all these things keep you nice and toasty and warm when it's cold and it's dark outside. But you know what? The better thing that we need is the sun, isn't it? You remember the best light was the sun, yeah? Well, the best warmth, the thing that can make us feel really, really good, is when in the spring... The sun beams hotter and hotter and hotter all the way into summer. And it makes us feel, oh, good, doesn't it? It makes us feel really good. And that is what Jesus promises. His light, his rule of being king over our lives does us good. It heals us on the inside. It gives us that, yes, warm and toasty and healed sense on the inside. You see, when we obey Jesus' command to repent, to come, and to follow, Jesus promises to heal us on the inside. Did you listen and hear that in our reading earlier? Jesus went out in power to heal all those people. All the things that were keeping them trapped in the darkness, Jesus got rid of. Like the sunlight warms your face, or like sitting with a nice cup of hot chocolate, that is what Jesus promises to do on the inside. So that we enjoy living his way. So that we enjoy repenting and coming and following him for the rest of our lives. You've all done really, really well. Shall we give them a round of applause for sitting so well? Excellent. And thank you to my helpers. And that's the end for now. Thank you very much. Want to go sit back down? You all like to go and sit back in your places? Well done.